Clipper Nation, before we start the show and sound the horn, I just want to let you know you're the best. And Clipper Nation, you're the greatest fans, especially you Looney Tunes in Section 114. Our loss today and in this series was not your fault. It wasn't because you wore your rally cap too late or you didn't put your hat inside out and wear it backwards. And it wasn't because you got your lucky socks on the wrong foot and you wore them starting at the wrong time. It had nothing to do with you and it had everything to do with this cheating league and these crooked refs. No, but seriously, Clipper Nation, you're great. Hold your chin up because you're Clipper fans. And we've been through the wilderness. Somehow we've made it through. Didn't know how lost I was until I found you. So let's know that we are Clipper Nation. We can get through this. We will be that much better for it. And oh, we'll get them next year.
That's the sound of the horn. Wah, wah. The depressed horn, because this is the end. My only friend, Jaglin, the end. I'm Chris Wilde. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
It's still going. It keeps moving. Chris, I actually was talking to a friend. Like, and the thing is, people have to realize a lot of people from LA are transplants, as both of us are.
And transients.
Yeah. But, you know,
pretty sure that's fancy talk for hobos and homeless.
Yeah.
Well, transplant transients.
Gosh, I donate more than to for homeless people than they do to the tollways of our great state. But getting back to what it is to kind of be a fan, like, sometimes as a fan, you know, you choose your team.
Right.
And you're the one in command. You can hop on a bandwagon, and it can feel nice and pretty and look shiny. But, you know, you've got to go through it. And, you know, you grew up in Jersey. I grew up in Philadelphia. You have to realize that we are fans and people that believe. We're just not going to the head of the hostel trying to get the best meal we need, right?
Well, this is my 14th season saying we got them next year. Next year is our year. I just know it. I've personally seen just about every home game for the past 13 seasons. I joined the Clipper season ticket holder family in the 2002-03 season. Started really loving the team. Obviously, once you're a season ticket holder, it's crazy how much you love that team because you see them so much, especially basketball.
Yep.
You see them 41 nights out of the year. You get to know the individual guys. You get to know the coaches. You get to know the people who work at Staples, your ticket taker. You get to know your usher. You get to know the gal that you like to buy beers from. You know, you just get to know it's a big family. And it's kind of funny at Staples Center because a lot of the Staples Center employees are Laker fans. A couple of them are Clippers fans. Some of them are Kings fans. Obviously, everyone who works in the Clippers organization is a diehard Clipper fan. And, you know, I've been there a long time. And I'm used to losing. That being said, this is the worst loss for me to end a season because this is the most promising team we've ever had. Now, Brian Seaman came on the last Clipcast and said the team two seasons ago was the best because we had such a deep bench. We had a really bad coach. We had no system at all.
And we played into the hands of a team that had a system. I mean, it's a team that's been in the playoffs this entire decade. And you can look at that. Listen, I actually think like last year's team was better than this year's team.
But and Brian Seaman saying 2 years ago's team was better. So,
yeah.
But this team was the core was around, you know, the core, the big three. Obviously, that was their fourth year. You would hope that Chris Paul in his senior year at Clipper High was going to go out on top. He didn't, but we're not going to break up Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, okay? We're not going to break up Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan. And I personally think, add J.J. Redick to that mix, those four guys aren't going anywhere, and the rest of the guys they're going places.
Listen, Chris, I mean, this is a wing league, and this is one thing that we can look at in basketball in the Western Conference. They have Corey Brewer. They have Josh Smith. They have Trevor Ariza. They have other guys that come in at the wing position.
Right. We have a great bench wing who starts and no one else. Matt Barnes would be incredible coming off the bench and playing tenacious D and giving you a couple, you know, unexpected
occasional threes. Yeah, yeah. No, but
to start Matt Barnes is obviously a glaring weakness.
The question is, like, how do you improve this team without having the space? If you max out DJ, you're literally putting yourself in a position that all you really have to spend is a mini mid level.
But what about the luxury tax, which we know
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Is ready to put ready to pay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's ready to pay. If you're over that tax, he can go over the tax to re-sign DJ. But you can't go out and just gobble up a Corey Brewer or gobble up a Gerald Green or Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll would be perfect for this team. Or even a Paul Pierce if he decides to play again. And that is the problem. This team offensively, and we've talked about this all year. When J.J., Jamal, and Matt aren't hitting shots, things go south. And you don't have that wing guy to worry about. You don't have to worry about DeAndre getting the ball because he's a defensive guy and he's all about putbacks and lobs. And you have Blake. And, you know, I love Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin is probably one of the most talented players in the world. But, I mean, stat-line, what do you put up 27 and 10? But 11. He put up 27-11. But he where's it? The only guy that actually put them in a position to come back at the end was Chris Paul.
Well, the only guy who put him in a position to come back was in the third quarter was Jamal Crawford. And we got within three. McHale calls a brilliant timeout, and then basically Houston gets their act together and wins the series.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just so frustrating that, you know, we have this opportunity, yet we just let it fall through our fingertips. And that game six, they should have, you know, put their foot on the gas, but they didn't, Chris. And, you know, this was a situation we all thought they were going to come up.
Everybody, Jag, game five, everybody said Clips are going to go and close them out in Houston because of how brutally the Clippers destroyed Houston in games three and four. We didn't. Then game six, everyone said, well, yeah, you know, Houston got a nice treat for their home fans, but, you know, Clippers going to close them out in L.A. And Clippers had every single opportunity to close them out in Los Angeles, and they blew it. I mean, we know that. We've covered the fact that they blew it. They basically everybody went cold in that one run where Houston came back. Doc had no answer, didn't hack a Dwight to stop the flow and the momentum. And basically it cost us the series because today in Game 7, we were never in it. Ever. The closest it was 0-0, and then down three in the third. It was brutally ugly today.
And that's one thing I've been talking about. This team plays best when they dictate the pace. And when they have to react, sometimes they can get bailed out and come back, but when they're not running their offense, when they're not playing core defense, they put themselves in a, you know, that speaks for disaster, and that's what happened today. I mean, they had it down the street, and, you know, Houston could have, you know, gone to NASA and called it a day, but they moved on. Now they're going to Oakland. And
Oakland's going to sweep these guys. Literally, Oakland in four, five. Jack, talk to me about 41 free throws for Houston today to 17 for the Clippers.
It's aggressiveness. They played closer to the paint. Let's just be honest. If you're going to settle for jumpers outside, you know, of the key, you're going to put yourself in a position to lose. And that was the thing, is that, again, not having a wing that can create or go to the hoop kills this team.
Matt Barnes had 0 points, shooting 0 for 2 for a big old goose. You can't do that.
And Matt Barnes is hurt. We know that. I mean, he's dealing with a shoulder.
But the problem is we have no backup. We have no backup three. For years and years and years, the Clippers had no two. They finally get a competent two. A lot of people are saying trade JJ. I disagree. I think JJ is an excellent two. He's just he wasn't consistent in round two like we needed him to be.
He had some bonehead passes too. I mean, I love JJ.
Oh man, did he have some bad turnovers today?
And that was the thing, especially early, is each team basically turned the ball over the same amount of times, but the problem was they were converting on the other end.
Absolutely.
And that was the difference with them jumping out on us.
Blake Griffin
60% shooting.
Blake Griffin had 5 turnovers. JJ Redick had 6 turnovers. Chris Paul had 4 turnovers. That is unlike our starters.
I know it is, but the question I have for you is, like, we have the big three, but do you trade one of them to try to get a wing? I mean, again, there's Gerald Green's out there. There are guys that can come and help.
You know,
but again, the cap space.
My gut, honestly, you know, what I wanted to do, when it comes to the big three, Jag, you know, obviously Blake and Chris, they're not going anywhere. That's a fact. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are not going anywhere. DeAndre Jordan is about to be a free agent. If we were to let him go somewhere else, we would save
a
ton of money.
If you let him go, you have a sign and trade in place.
But here's the thing, Jag. Like, one thing that everyone kept hitting home was anytime DeAndre was off the floor, the Clippers couldn't get their act together. And anytime DeAndre was on the floor, the Clippers dominated, certainly defensively. So it's like you see how important DeAndre is to their defense. So I personally believe in my heart of hearts, the big three is not going anywhere.
But this team can't win a championship without a decent wing.
Totally.
You know, I mean,
but is there a scenario where we can put a Hawes Barnes Redick package together?
Who's going to take that? No one's going to take that. I mean, come on.
What about Redick and Crawford? Those are two great
scorers. Crawford's an option. You know,
Redick and Crawford for a three. If I've got a three, not happy.
No one's going to do that deal unless they're a contender. No one's going to take a 35-year-old Jamal Crawford that, you know, we love him to death, but, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough.
But JJ Redick just gave us the best season of his career.
Yes, but, again, they have to go to a contender. No team that is, you know, like the Orlando Magic. I would love to have Tobias Harris. That would be the perfect guy for the Clippers. That or DeMar Carroll for the Hawks, which he's probably not going to leave. But you're not going to get that with that package unless the Magic GM is just high on Magic. You know, I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, when you max out three guys, you have to look in the mirror and be like, what can possibly happen? And if you look at the salaries, once you put everything together going into next year or the following year, because next year they won't have any space to get anyone that's going to be a pure difference maker, they're still in the bottom. Even if the cap rises, they're still in the bottom of the league.
Well, you take a look the team that just knocked us out, Houston. You know, they lose Beverly, they lose what's his name, I can't even pronounce his name. But they make moves to get a Corey Brewer. They pick up, by the grace of God and sheer luck, and Dwight Howard's old best friends forever necklace from junior high camp. They pick up Josh Smith. They get a Prigioni who gives them some minutes there. Smith and Brewer were huge pickups for them. The only pickup that we had was Austin Rivers.
Listen, I mean, if you would have told me that we could have got Amon Shumpert and Prigioni for, you know, Barnes and Collison last year instead of Raymond Felton's bad deal, I would have taken that in a heartbeat.
Sure.
I mean, that this team needs toughness. And that's why, going back to this, I say this to you, I say this to everyone, the Clipper fan, I say this to my wife, not getting Paul Pierce was the biggest freaking thing that happened to this team.
And also look at how effective Pierce was this postseason. I mean, he practically single-handedly kept Washington in it there, except for the old...
This team would not have melted down 19, up 13, going into the fourth in game six with Paul Pierce.
No. And that's they shouldn't the have, Jag, with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. I mean, that's the bottom line.
We have one guy that... we have Barnes and CP, I'm going to say two, that are mentally tough that you can run through walls. At the end of that game, like, Blake held on to the ball for a good 7 seconds. When it's like, go. You're Blake Griffin. You know, this is a game that they're all going to have to look themselves in the mirror. And the
game six is going to haunt these guys. It's going to haunt them all summer long as they're counting their millions on their private island vacations. But it will definitely haunt them and eat them up inside. Chris Paul, this taints, once again, tarnishes his legacy. He has never gotten out of round two. The Clippers organization has never gotten out of round two. Blake Griffin has never gotten out of round two. None of these guys have got out of round two, and it's sitting here tarnishing their reputation. We once again are going to have to deal with the L word and the media and local radio. It's just add to the brutality, whipping boy factor. Like, we are tied to the whipping post once again, and we've got to hear it once again. Now, granted, our future looks more promising, even as is, than the other team in town. But
well,
it's just adding more lumps.
It's pinball away, though. No, Jag, they're not.
They could get the number one overall pick. That kid is not going to come in and turn them around in a season.
No, but they still have cap space, you know. That's the thing that the Clippers don't have. They don't have draft picks or cap space.
True.
That's a scary thing. And
but they've got a talented core of guys that just for some reason cannot get out of the second round.
You need a wing to win in this league. Name me a wing. I mean, Golden State has Iguodala, Barnes.
Harrison Barnes.
They have guys that Green, you know, they have guys that, Draymond Green. They have guys that are wings that play different positions that can do it all.
They're the deepest team in the league, without a doubt, and this is their year. I think they're going to win it all. Now that the Clippers are officially out of it, I can honestly tell you Golden State Warriors are the team to beat.
I'm rooting for the Cavs, though. I mean,
I'm not going to watch a minute of basketball until Summer League in Vegas. Or actually, wait, we're not going to Vegas. Summer League in Florida. I'm looking forward to not watching any basketball. I don't care about any of these remaining teams. I can read about it. I can talk to you. You can text me and tell me who won. I don't care. I'm done watching basketball because I'm a Clippers fan. I'm not a fan of the NBA. I'm not a fan of basketball. I'm a fan of the Los Angeles Clippers.
I'm a fan of the NBA, but I am a fan of the Clippers. And the one thing that, again, and as a fan and, you know, as a host, is you and I are, you have to look at this. And, Chris, the one thing I want you to look at is all the teams that win now have wings.
Oh, absolutely.
Do something.
And look at Golden State. They are so much deeper than us. Even look at Houston. Yes. Houston is deeper than us.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You have a Trevor Ariza who we courted but didn't have the money to sign. You have, you know, a Corey Brewer that we didn't have the right package or any draft picks to go get. You have a Josh Smith that had his AAU guy. It's everything, I think, to, you know, again, Doc is not the GM, but someone needs to be brought in that can be a middleman.
Absolutely. Doc is president of basketball operations and head coach. We need to hire a GM that isn't his buddy who, you know, whatever his name is, from New Jersey. We need to get rid of that guy.
We need Wall to hit the wall.
We need to take Wall and throw him out the window. Now the Clippers are out. Mad Men ends tonight. Letterman leaves Wednesday. I mean, it is bleak on my television right now, Jack.
Mad Men, more like Sad Men.
good one, Jack. I'm giving you a Jaguar roar for that one.
But you know, they have to figure out. Like, honestly, Chris, I mean, you have to look into Blake or DJ. They'll probably bring them both back.
We're going to bring them both back. Let's talk about DeAndre because you just brought him up. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, wouldn't DeAndre, you know, now that DeAndre has basically been eliminated in the second round 3 out of the past 4 years, wouldn't DeAndre want to go to a contender? If you're DeAndre Jordan, why would you take less money to leave Los Angeles ever, first of all? Second of all, where would you go? Where would he go?
Well,
OKC?
Well, you're going to have New York out there. You know,
They're terrible, New York.
Yeah. But, again, we have to look at this in regards to improving the franchise. How can this team get better? These three, I love them, and when they come back next year, which they probably will, we'll have the same hope, but
see, Jag, if it's me,
OKC is going to be better. You know, this was the year that they had an opportunity. You know, Golden State was what we thought the Clippers would be, and we battled all year,
right.
And then we won 14-15, and then we got in, we beat the Spurs, and now, you know.
Well, you know, the thing we touted ourselves on was being the mentally tougher team, the smarter team than Houston. We called Houston a bunch of dummies. Guess what, Jag? We were the dummies. Houston was smarter than us. They were mentally tougher than us, and that's the sad, sad fact. I don't think they are overall, but they certainly were in the past 3 games.
Listen, they don't run your conventional offense that, you know, moves the ball around, but what they do really well is they drive and they dish.
Right.
And that's the one thing that killed us. All, you know, especially these last 2 games, especially the last 5 quarters. But they need wings, they need shooters.
If I'm Doc, I try to bring in another brain, some sort of like analytics guy to really help me get some dirty players from overseas, people that they're like overturn every rock. And if I'm Doc, I take the core 3. I take the core 3, and I rebuild everybody else.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I don't think you can max out 3 guys and that haven't got past the second round and expect to win a championship. That's the problem I have. I'm not saying, you know, it's over, but look at it. I mean, you can't do that. The big 3 in Miami, they all took pay cuts. We're talking like full fledged salary maxes. You know, it's a different deal. And especially when you have no other guys that can get their shots, it's a problem. But again...
So that sounds to me, Jag, if I can read between the lines, you're saying keep Blake and Chris and start shuffling the rest of the deck.
Yeah, I honestly would, besides Chris Paul, I would look at every situation possible.
I disagree with that. You never know. I agree. I would go to bat for you saying keep Chris and Blake and shuffle the deck. I don't say keep Chris Paul and shuffle the deck.
Well, I mean,
because honestly, look, like, look, Chris Paul clearly isn't getting the job done. Jack, he didn't get the job done in New Orleans. He's not getting the job done here. So he's not the guy. I think him and Blake are a good team that you build around.
If OKC calls you and says, I want to do a Durant deal, you do the Durant deal.
See, but I would not trade Blake for Kevin Durant.
I would in a heartbeat. Kevin Durant's a much better player than Blake Griffin. I mean, Blake Griffin puts up stats, but, I mean, how many girls did you date in your 20s that put up great stats?
But not enough. We can both admit that it wasn't enough.
You know what I mean? Like, how many of them? We're good looking stallions.
Great looking.
We can, you know, we know that sometimes a fancy vehicle doesn't get you to the finish line. And right now, the Kia, you know, you've got to look at all options. I think the only guy tonight that really played with any heart were probably one, Chris Paul, and probably Jamal. but there were some bad Jamal shots, and that's what Jamal does at times.
So Kevin Durant is a free agent, correct?
No. He has another year left on his deal.
He has another year left on his deal. Okay, so that's why you think OKC would make a trade, although
they just bring in this new coach. And another one I'm going to throw in there. I'm not making crazy Jag rumors, but would you explore a Paul George who grew up a Clipper fan, who is an elite wing, coming back for him, and you get another piece with that? If you got something else that you needed on top of getting Paul George, a guy that has challenged LeBron, you know, in the past, and that's only, 24? So, I mean, you have to look at all your options. I mean, why don't you release the big Clipper news, too, about the logo? Because
I feel like it's not a good time just because everybody's depressed and nobody likes the logo.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that after the exit interviews. I have a couple of great when we do the exit interviews tomorrow or Tuesday. Yeah, when we do the exit interviews, we'll put together a Clipcast, and I've got a ton of great, great exclusive scoops from my new source, which is basically, and my new source may as well be Steve Ballmer, and everybody knows too much about that if they go back and listen to past episodes. We need to keep my source close to my chest because it's an incredible source.
But I think as a team, you got to look at all your options right now. Yeah, and again, I was talking to a Clipper fan the other night after game six, and he was saying, you can't have a max point guard. And I was like, you don't realize we have the best point guard in the world. The problem is things around them aren't working out.
Jack, do we? Because our point guard can't seem to motivate his team past the second round.
We do. Honestly, Chris Paul is, I still would not bet against Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to have his day. It's not this year. We know that now. But it's going to happen. I don't feel you can trade a Chris Paul. And unless you're going to get like Damian Lillard and Nick Batum back and go younger and, you know, that I would look at. If Neil O'Shea, our old buddy, would do that.
Well, we have Blake and Chris for the next 3 years or 2 years?
Three.
See, for me, Jack, I don't touch those two guys. I give them the full 5 years together or whatever it is. It'll end up being six or seven. I give them the next three seasons with Doc. I say, I'm Steve Ballmer. I've got Steve Ballmer money. I say, I want Doc Rivers, Blake Griffin, and Chris Paul. That's my untouchable big three. And then I start shuffling the deck. That's what I do.
But the problem is that the deck we have doesn't give a hand that anyone likes. That's the problem.
But I disagree, dude. DeAndre Jordan, people want DeAndre Jordan. If you couple DeAndre Jordan with anybody that's competent, from J.J. Redick to Jamal Crawford, even Spencer Hawes,
listen, if you put those guys in a package
with DeAndre Jordan, and you can get guys in return. Great guys.
If you could find a way to trade DeAndre Jordan in Milwaukee and get Jabari Parker or the Greek Freak, I'm all for it. I mean, that's the thing that we have to look at. Like, other teams that have needs are going to give things away that they don't want to give away. And that's the battle with trading. It's like we need a wing.
Let's take a look at people we've played. Like, you know, there's a lot of rumors that the Spurs might get actually broken up.
Yeah, but they have cap space to go get LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right, but or like, Kevin Moore. What about dealing a DeAndre Jordan to San Antonio?
I mean, what are you going to get?
A guys who play team basketball who can listen to Chris Paul and not get their feelings hurt when he barks at them?
No, but there's no elite wing that you're outside of Kawhi Leonard that you're gonna take. Like you have to look at it. Like that's why if you're gonna trade DeAndre Jordan, send them to Milwaukee and get one of their wings. You know, I don't know. Maybe, there aren't as many landing spots that can get them the golden return that we think they can. I mean, Orlando would be great, but they have that Vujicic down low. So right. They're not going to trade that. They just gave him a deal. I mean, that's like the no-brainer. You can't go to Utah and say, can we have a Gordon Hayward or Alex Burke for DeAndre? No, you can't do that because they have Rudy Gobert, who we chose Reggie Bullock over. You know, there aren't many places. And if it's in a sign-and-trade situation, you need to get something. You need to get a lot in return for two of these three guys. Sure. I mean,
well, let me ask you this too, because of this like CBA nonsense that I don't really understand. Weren't you telling me that DeAndre may not actually sign a super long term deal with the Clippers because he could get so much more money?
He could sign a 1 year deal and then get his big deal the next year.
Now that interests me, because then you say, okay, we're going to give the big three of the players, Blake, Chris, and DeAndre, one last shot. Can you do something? Can you put together a 60-win season and then try to build around those guys? You get a little bit, you know, a deeper bench. I don't know.
But you don't have any money. That's the problem. They don't have any money for a deeper bench. I mean, they're living off of minimums, and they have one mini mid-level. That's all they have.
Right.
We can't like say let's sign this guy and that guy, and it is what it is. I mean, and part of it's Doc and his regime's fault. Part of it, you know, just the
bad
organization.
And we blew game six. Part of it's we blew game six. I mean, Houston's going to get destroyed by Golden State, Jack. I mean, everyone who says, "Oh well, the Clippers had all that confidence after beating the Spurs, so they're going to just, you know, steamroll over Houston." Well, we were all wrong. Houston may or may not have confidence beating the Clippers. Golden State's just waiting in the wings, just ready to fire bombs and destroy them in Oakland.
Yep.
I see Oakland sweeping. I mean, I literally, Oakland in four or five, easily. I feel like the NBA loses. I mean, Houston, Oakland is going to be so boring. Not that I'll watch, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, again, the only guy that really showed you anything heart-wise was Chris Paul. And that's one thing I think you got to look at. Chris Paul's not your Curry, not your Westbrook that, you know, plays an Allen Iverson brand type of game. You know, he's not going to – he gets beat up, but he's
he
not going to –
He had one assist in the first half and still ended the game with 10 assists.
Yeah. I knew that was going to happen. That's the beauty of Chris Paul. And he was the only guy, like, going after him. Again, we're going to look at every scenario in this offseason. And I think Doc and this organization is really going to sit down and be like, okay, this is now. You know what I mean? This is where we're going. We have three pieces. We can do the easy thing, max DJ out, max, you know, and keep this around and just
give him another shot. Basically say, here's our guys. We blew it this year because of game six. Let's roll the dice
again and
hope the NBA gods are a little kinder to us, you know, with seeding, with who we get first. I mean, obviously we expended a lot of energy with the Spurs opening round. And then we had nothing left in the tank versus Houston. Unfortunately, we had it. We were 10 minutes away from our first Western Conference Finals. We blew it. There's definitely something to be said for give these guys another shot and move bench pieces around. The glaring weakness for me, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, and you've said it all season, is the wing, is the three. But you're telling me there's no room for improvement because we don't have cap space. We don't have this. We do have Steve Ballmer's deep, deep pockets.
But
that's got to be worth something.
No, it's not. We play in a salary cap league. It doesn't matter. Again, we can go over the max for a guy like DeAndre and pay the luxury, but we can't go out and just swoop a guy and bring him in. You have so many restrictions. And it's time to just look at everything. You know, Magic Johnson's been tweeting, and he basically said the Clippers are the Clippers, and that this team needs to figure out how to, you know, break up the core to get them to the net. I mean, again, you have to look at every possible scenario because,
Jack,
is
there a part of you that says go the Spurs route and just give these guys time together to figure it out?
No, because they don't have the wings and they don't have the cap space. You're not going to win without wings in this league. And you're going to hope you get a minimum deal out of someone like we had with CDR earlier in the year. Hope that pays. You know how they are balanced. You know their cap space is balanced. They have things spread out in a way that they can always compete. The Clippers don't have that. You know, the three max guys, you're living off of minimum deals and mid-level exceptions. You can't do that in this league.
Well, you can't. We have a definite silver lining to the rain cloud in that long-term, Steve Ballmer is a game changer.
Yes, and I agree with you. And I think long-term, Doc Rivers and this regime will be a game changing, but we need now again this franchise. We've harped on this, has never had stability, and now
I personally want a complete change from the look of the team to the location of the team to not necessarily Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. But I hear you. Maybe we need to shuffle the core. I think it's more than that. I mean, I think these guys
have
the ghost of Clippers past on their shoulder always. I would love a new look. I want to do away with every jersey you've ever seen the Clippers wear ever. I want to do away with playing at Staples Center. I want a stadium that's the Clippers Stadium. Call it Clippers Stadium. I don't want the ghosts of former L Word greats anywhere near. I don't want a statue of Chick Hearn outside my stadium. I don't want to look at the blue jerseys with Los Angeles in cursive. I don't want people saying, look at how similar the Clippers logo is to the L Word logo. I am so done with those comparisons, and the way to do that is to change the look, change the feel, and change the location. Ballmer's not going to move the team out of Los Angeles. He said that, and I believe him 100%. That team is not going to Seattle. That's just not happening. They're not going to Anaheim. They're not going to San Diego. They're staying in Los Angeles. But there's no need for them to stay in Staples Center. Yes, they have a lease at Staples with AEG, but it's a bum deal. If anybody can get us out of that deal, I think it's Steve Ballmer. Maybe we have to wait. But I don't see us playing at Staples Center 10 years from today. That's for sure.
Take the Lakers' old place in the Forum. Take a revamp the sports arena. They get the bum rap because Sterling put them in that position. You know, we get every 12:30 game. I mean, what do we have, two or three back-to-back?
But Ballmer's got the kind of money where he can literally build us a new stadium in Inglewood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, give us a whole new sports complex in Inglewood with a football stadium and a basketball stadium.
Exactly what Stan Kroenke's doing with the Rams right now. He's just saying, you know what, I'm buying land, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think that's something that this organization should definitely look into. You know, build a, you know, $15,000 stadium that you can create your own atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Not have to worry about, you know, what you're going against, worrying about a hockey team getting off. You know, again, that's the thing a lot of teams don't realize, that, again, with three teams in this,
yeah,
you're constantly moving the hardwood or ice. You know,
it's insane.
I mean,
up for a Taylor Swift show. It's another thing entirely to have three professional league games in 48 hours, which happens constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sparks, Kings, and L Word play at Staples Center. Let's get out of LA Live. Let's get closer to our practice facility. I think Inglewood makes all sorts of sense, and I know our lease is up in 7 years.
7 years. But you could break that, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have a closer insight to the, you know, numbers with your friend, but there's got to be a way to get out of that.
I know for a fact that AEG, they're in the business of making stadiums. They own, I don't know, 80-plus stadiums all over the world.
They're a European company, too.
They're a European company. They have no allegiance to Los Angeles or anything. I don't see Ballmer buying the stadium from AEG and then owning Staples Center, personally.
I don't think that will ever work for this franchise. I totally agree with you. I think we need our Clipperplex.
Yeah.
You know, we need a place that we can go. And that's a great thing. Like, you know, in Philadelphia, you have three organizations that have their sports complex all together, but they play in their own place besides the Sixers and Flyers.
Right.
And that's fine. Two teams is fine.
But three teams is where it gets really, really tricky.
And the
Nets and the Rangers don't all play in the same stadium.
The
Devils moved to their own stadium, The Rock. They didn't even have to share Brendan Bernardino or Izod Center with the Nets anymore before the Nets moved to Brooklyn.
We had two Sunday night home games. You know when they were? In the playoffs.
Right. When everybody else was eliminated mathematically.
Yep.
And also, AEG, by the way, makes money on every concession sold at every game, and that gets under Ballmer's skin. Ballmer wants to make money every time concessions are sold, AEG. I
mean, listen, this is a bad day. This was an awful performance. Again, I think the only person that truly showed up was Chris Paul. And Blake.
I think Blake and Chris once again showed up, and nobody else.
No, Blake did not show up. Blake missed a lot of little dunkies. Blake held onto the ball too long. I love Blake, but I'm
going to disagree with you, Jack. Blake shot over 50%. I mean, I don't know what more you want from the kid.
I want more aggression from Blake. I want more urgency. This is game 7.
He put up the most shots. He was 13 for 23. He shot better than Chris Paul, who shot 9 for 20.
But you need to be aggressive within your system. And you need to trust your system.
But our core two superstars, did what they do and scored 53 points. They always do that. They're gonna get you anywhere from 45 to 60 every night. The problem is the rest of the bums. I mean, that's the problem. Bums.
I mean, what did DeAndre have close to 20 rebounds, too, right? I mean,
DeAndre had 17 rebounds and 16 points. It wasn't enough. JJ Redick had 10 points. He shot 2 for 9 from the 3-point line.
Again,
4 for 12.
The wing position, it kills him.
Jamal Crawford 6 for 18 and 3 for 9 from 3-point land. 3 for 9 from 3-point land is forgivable, but if you're 6 for 18, that ain't gonna cut it, folks.
No, especially when this team basically, it's been like this the last couple of years.
And
Maddie
game 7
Barnes, 3-pointers.
Barnes, who single-handedly, you know, with Chris Paul, won game 7 versus San Antonio with all those gutty offensive rebounds and the timeout and the block shot and the 3-pointer, 0 points today. And I know he's playing through injury, but Boneyard, woof.
Yeah, and we love Boneyard. We'll probably have Boneyard on probably, hopefully, you know, in the next month or so. But
no, tell me, you know, Jack, I never went to the exit interviews. Did you go to the exit interviews last year?
No, we both missed them.
So this could be our first exit interviews coming up.
Yes.
Super depressing stuff.
I know. It was weird, too, because I was talking to Seth, like, in the first round. And I'm like, what do you have planned for the summer? He goes, hopefully this will keep on going a little longer. And I was just like, yeah, it will. And now it's...
Party's over, my friend.
And we have no draft picks. The good thing is, let's look at the positive.
Okay, the positive for me is Blake Griffin and Chris Paul.
We know that. But we do have Austin. We can pick up the option, so we'll be good there. I think it's 3.1, so we're fine. So at least we have a young point guard that will have a camp, know where he's going to be, know what his role is.
Right, and he'll actually be better and more consistent next year.
Yep. And Jordan Anderson, too. And Lester Hudson. We have both of those options. which I think both of them will contribute if they're part of the team. And I'd rather bring back Jordan Hamilton and Lester Hudson than give two bums minimum deals. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I just... Look, everyone was saying, you know, going in, our bench is going to kill us. Our lack of depth is going to kill us.
And it is.
And we're talking about bringing bench guys back, so that just kind of depresses me, you know?
But they're bench guys we never really knew.
No, we didn't.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, we didn't. All three of those guys were, you know, late-season acquisitions, so you're absolutely right. We never got to see them thrive and flourish. Obviously, Austin Rivers we got to see flashes of, and he was brilliant. For a few games, he was absolutely brilliant. He did not get it done today. He didn't really, you know...
Again, too, like, we all thought, you know, in our heart of hearts that, like, we would get a Granger type. We would, you know, get a baby type at, you know, once those buyouts happened. And none of that happened.
None of it happened.
So, yeah, so we had to deal with the cards. And hey, listen, you bring Spencer Hawes back. I'm not against bringing Spencer Hawes back because I think he can contribute and he will contribute. But again, if you can flip Spencer for a Patrick Peterson or a John Henson or a, you know, I'm just throwing names out there, but these are logical names that would make sense. You would look into that. But, and I think Spencer, you know, listen, he battled through a lot this year. He was awful.
Yeah.
But he played better in the series and showed that he can contribute. So,
but I don't think, Jag, yeah, that they brought him in to play 10 minutes a playoff game.
No, oh no. Oh no. I think you thought that Spencer Hawes was going to be a guy that you could take out DeAndre Jordan and not miss a beat.
Right.
That's what we thought.
He played under 2 minutes today, Jack.
Yeah.
Christ, I wanted to see a little Turkoglu launching threes today. I was getting so desperate.
Well, that's probably the end of he do, you know. And that's the NBA. The thing, too. But that's the thing, too. Doc has to get off of this. I like these type of guys and giving away roster spots. I love Dante Jones, and Dante Jones was good for the bench, but Dante Jones didn't do anything for us.
Yep.
You know, Udo.
Came in and committed some fouls.
I love Udo. He's a great guy.
Didn't do anything
for
us.
I will go to one of his book clubs, but I have an invite. But, you know, you can't give contracts away just to give contracts away. A lot of these teams, too, when they bring people, the one guy that we probably screwed our season over on was Joe Ingles because of Farmer.
Yeah.
That was, Ingles had a phenomenal season for the freaking
should have kept Ingles, for sure.
Yep.
Should have kept
Ingles. You know, we probably would have been Ingling it all the way. I mean, he's like a bigger mono, you know, type of guy.
Well, also, like, we, you know, Jamal had 17 points off the bench, but then the rest of the bench combined was 4. So we had 21 points from the bench, 17 of them going to Mr. Crawford. You got a Joe Ingles in there, he's going to give you, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 points.
Well, the thing that the Ingles does is he's a bigger type of, he's a point forward. You know, he does a lot of the dirty work. You know, he'll put up. You know, the thing we love about Big Baby is Big Baby, who we need to bring back. You need Baby.
I don't know if you need Baby.
But he was one of those guys that he makes a difference.
Right.
Energy-wise, he does the little things. He knows how to take a charge. He knows how to roll around the rim and get hoops. You know what I mean?
Right.
We need smart players, and that's one thing that, you know, if we could have swapped out Jamal Crawford for Gerald Green, I think we'd probably be in the Western Conference Finals right now.
Sure.
Not to say, like, I want to think that, you know, Jamal Crawford, again, I love Jamal. We both love Jamal. And we love his mentality, but...
No, the injury killed him. I mean, he wasn't the
injury
same Jamal Crawford
him, and,
post-injury.
And we know the ball stops. The ball stops when it comes to him.
His plus-minus was the worst on the team, minus 22.
Yeah, and you can't live with that.
No.
So, I mean, we have a lot of things to look at. I think the Ingles move was probably with, you know, the cards we were dealt and how we played them.
Right.
Probably the worst.
Bad luck, and that's so much to do with sports, folks. I mean, you pick your horse and you just pray to Lady Luck.
And again, it's like, you know, coming back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, like you and I we're sports fans, and I'm also a fan of sports, but the teams I root for are not like, they're not champions year in, year out. I'm an Eagles fan. I've been to two Super Bowls in the franchise history. One is a human, you know, that I could root for.
Right.
You know, the Phillies gave me, you know, love in 2008, the year I met my wife. And, you know, you look at that too, like different teams that have different windows. And if you don't jump through it, you know, that's why I think you have to look at everything right now. I'm not saying blow it up. I'm saying look at everything. See what's out there. Because you never know. Like, if somehow Indiana wants to do, I mean, they won't do it because they have Hibbert, but if you get a Paul George for DeAndre, they need a wing. The wing's the main thing. Not just a body, but a wing.
The wing is the thing. You know? I like it, Jack.
The wing is the thing.
The wing's
and
thing.
That should be... Hashtag wing is the thing. That's what we're going to do all summer. Wing is the thing.
Yeah, let's go looking for wings. I mean, we did Clipcast from Hooters where they got great wings, Jack.
Oh, actually, that was the curse of it all.
I know, in a losing effort. We haven't won since we went to that loaded Clipcast at Hooters.
Jeez, yeah, and all Jeff talks about is how we woken a giant up. That's all he said. And you know what? Did Jeff go and just, like, streak him through the house and wake him up? I mean,
yeah, Jeff Grace over at the Loaded Clip said he was afraid we woke the giant with Houston. We woke the beard. I just think it was bad luck, and we just basically choked. I mean, we just choked Game 6, and we weren't able to recover. You know,
it was.
You talk about momentum all the time, Jack. Houston had the momentum after Game 6.
This was comparable to the 2011 World Series. That's what it was. Basically, the Rangers are an out away from winning the World Series in Game 6, and Nelson Cruz runs into a wall.
Right.
And if you haven't seen the Clipper Nation, if you haven't seen two Chris, watch that game, and then they come back and have a Game 7, and this is what happened. It was basically that in a nutshell. And I've seen a lot of, I mean, these last two seasons. I mean, that's the thing. How much heartache can we take after Game 5?
But I've been
year,
a Clippers fan
six?
A long time, and it's been nothing but heartache. It's been
a couple of peaks,
but living in the valley, my friend.
Now it's a stable organization, though. That's the thing. This summer is the most important summer in the Clippers franchise history. If they change the name, if they change the logo, which we have a hint. This is the most important summer because do we want to be a 4 or 5 seed for the next 3 or 4 years?
Right.
Or do we want to get creative and figure out a way that we can be that team?
Right.
You know,
we don't want to be like, you know, look, how did the Atlanta Hawks figure it out, Jag? Or is it just because they play
one,
in the
they're
East?
In the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And two, they have Boldenhauser is a pop guy. Yeah, they're the watered down Spurs. Without
I can't believe Doc gets past Pop and then can't get past Frankenstein's monster and McHale. That is crazy to me.
No, I know it's like a monsters reunion with bad beards and guys that just shoot bad shots. But you know that's sports.
There will be a game. There will be a series. There will be a time when the Clipper curse is lifted. I am the son of a Cubs fan, so I know about suffering. I've been a Clipper fan for as long as I've been in Los Angeles, which is now going on 17 years. A diehard, psychotic, weirdo fan for 14 years. So I know all about disappointment. The future does look the brightest it's ever looked. That being said, it stings.
I'm a Philadelphia
Jack,
fan. I mean, it's nightlight bright right now. It's not, you know, the lights are on, it's showtime. It's time to look at things. Again, I'm not saying the world's over, it's crashing down on us. I don't think that. I think this franchise is only going to sail to the right direction going forward. And that's the thing, again, we need to look at that. Diamond Don, as we found out, did a lot of things to screw these guys
right,
to make money. He sold a lot of tickets to ticket brokers.
Yep.
Ticket brokers owned our seats next to us. You know,
it's brutal.
They're getting rid of that.
Yep.
You know, they can't control StubHub, but nope. They can control these brokers.
Right.
And now they're figuring that out. And I think this is a summer that everyone can look and think, okay, what realistically can we do? You know, and what's out there? You know, what's going to work for us? Because, again, we don't have cap space. We don't have picks. So we've got to, and that's the thing. A team like Houston, Daryl Morey's unbelievable GM. I give him props. And I still think if they had Jeff Van Gundy running that show, they probably have a shot at winning the whole thing.
Right.
But, you know, he knows analytics. He knows how to do kind of like this Spurs 2.0 of drafting guys in the second round. And, you know, that you stash and bring over when you need to. And again, they were with Mauskalnis and Beverly. Beverly is one of the best defensive point guards in the league. And
no, they didn't have him. We couldn't get past him, Jack.
Yeah. And that's this organization needs to become an organization. Again, we talk about, you know, the Clipper curse, and it is a Clipper curse because of one rich old Mr. Burns man,
right?
That, you know, basically took us down, and now it's time to just, you know, write that ship and figure out what's the best going forward. And I think things are going to be great, but it's a matter of what do you do? You don't have any options. You don't. So you got to get creative. And this goes on, Doc. You got to bring in, you know, I don't know if it's a Tom Penn guy. I don't know, you know, there are guys out there that can help. You know, there might be a numbers guy they can hire. I mean, hell, we.
What I keep saying to you, Jag, is keep the core four, DeAndre, Blake, Chris, JJ.
But you don't have the cap space.
But that's what I'm saying. But you keep saying you got to get creative. You got to get creative. I say keep the core four and get creative.
Well, you can't get creative when you're dealing with minimum salaries and guys that are. You know,
I'm talking about role players. Like, let's swap out some of these role players for different role players.
We don't have the luxury to trade a guy and get a guy that's making. Okay, Wilson Chandler be perfect for the team. We don't have a guy that we can get, you know, match salaries and get a guy that makes $8 to $9 million a year. We don't have that.
I want to get out the D-League comb and start combing, Jack.
Well, we need.
I want to look at the FIBA International Basketball and start picking guys off.
No, from Europe, from China. You hit the head right there. This team and you and I will cover the D-League if we need to let the Clippers organization know. No, we will. Why not? If you
got to do the Mad Ant cast.
Yeah, let's go to the Coliseum. Let's go to the. You know, Galen Center or something like that, and have a D-League team there. Well, you know, that's where you're going to find these guys because that's the thing.
But like, that's what I'm talking about, Jack. I'm saying keep the core four and get creative and get your D-League combs and get your Austin Powers International Man of International League Basketball mystery and solve these mysteries and get guys that are going to be more effective than Blessem Austin Rivers and Blessem Spencer Hawes.
You don't have the cap space to sign these guys. You know, you actually
would. We've got guys
sitting
on the bench doing nothing, and I'm talking about Udo, and I'm talking about Dante Jones, and I'm talking about Lester Hudson, Jordan Hamilton. All these guys sit there doing nothing on the bench. We've got room for 15 players. We got Rockstar CDR. He didn't do anything. We got Udo. He didn't do anything. I want to get clever and creative with our core four and get that top eight that you make a run with.
I think you've got to trade either Blake or DJ to get what you need. And I know that sounds awful and wants to break your heart, but if you don't want to be a
my two favorite Clippers, as you know, and I've said this a long time.
I know that.
Blake and DeAndre. Those are the two guys I want to trade.
I'm not trading Chris Paul. I mean, unless you're going to give me a
you're not trading Chris Paul. You're also not trading Blake Griffin. It'll be a dark day in Clipper history when Blake Griffin doesn't put on the Clipper jersey.
Unless you get Kevin Durant, and then it'll be a
that nonsense Blake for LaMarcus Aldridge nonsense. It's just not going to happen.
I would do Blake for Aldridge if he took a pay cut and got the tune in the deal. I mean, I'd do that. I mean, that's the thing. Chris, we have to look at everything. And not from like our stupid Clipper fanboy heads, but you have to look at like what will make this team better? And how do you get over the hump? After watching this postseason, it's tough to say trade Chris Paul, because I just feel like Chris Paul will be Chris Paul for the next 4 or 5 years.
And that's what we got him for.
Yeah,
and Blake is getting better and better, Jack. Blake was better than last
quarter.
Season.
I mean, even the little clip calls us out. He disappears in the fourth quarter. You know, and if you're a superstar, again, does he want to be Sean Kemp? Sean Kemp went to the finals. Blake Griffin hasn't got past the second round.
You know, well, granted, I agree in that Blake Griffin,
you know what I mean?
Grabs a rebound and then dishes too much too quickly in the fourth. Although in game six, you know, he went 0-for-4. He had the most attempts in that terrible drought where we couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
And as
see, my
a
problem
superstar,
is like another
as,
problem.
As a superstar, you need to demand the ball and have the offense
run through
you.
But Chris Paul says the offense always goes through Blake, and it's always going to go through Blake. You take a look at these guys who are giving you the mid to high 20s, Chris and Blake. It's just unfortunately not cutting the mustard, Jack.
No. And again, it's just looking at
you look at a guy like Russell Westbrook, who's going to give you a triple-double and score 50, but at the same time, his team can't, you know, finish higher than number 9.
No, he couldn't get in the playoffs. He couldn't get in the playoffs. No. And that's why I think that Chris Paul is so special, and why we have to ride out the Chris Paul is that
I think Blake and Chris are both super special. I think those two guys, you'd leave them be and you build around them. And
but
if that means DeAndre Jordan has to be dealt,
you need to find a wing for DJ.
Then that means DeAndre Jordan has to be dealt. If that means DeAndre Jordan stays to be the defensive anchor and you build around those three, that's what you do.
I would be calling Milwaukee. That's the team I would be calling.
If I'm scrub team with a decent three, and the Clippers
Milwaukee,
come calling and
Milwaukee,
saying we'll give you JJ, Jamal, and Spencer,
I would do DJ and Jabari Parker and Henson in a heartbeat. I would do that in a heartbeat. For DJ, I would do that.
Now you know more about this than I do. That all that stuff doesn't happen until July, right?
Yes.
Rumors start flying in the end of June.
Yeah, we're basically going to just figure out where everything is.
Okay.
I mean, we have no clue. We just have to write it out. It's going to be interesting.
Well, let's go. We're well into overtime, and this is probably going to be our least listened to episode because everybody just feels too bad. But if you stuck with us this far, I just want to tell you, next ClipCast, we're going to have interviews from all the players, Doc Rivers, and a huge scoop where you're going to hear it here first before you hear it anywhere else, and then the world will officially hear it in the middle of June. You're going to hear our scoop first before anybody else. So tune in next ClipCast because we're giving you an exclusive scoop that no one else is going to hear, and then the world will find out about in mid-June. And then the world will hear rumbling about it because they got scooped here on ClipCast. But our buddy Arash, our buddy Brian Seaman, they don't know what I know.
Will they bring some of these players to the scoop?
Yeah. So is this called Depressed Cast?
Depressed Cast,
right? Because this isn't the Wings, the thing. This is Depressed.
Actually,
Cast.
we've been really positive. We're breaking again. We want to break down everything. We love you all. You know, we really do love all our fans, and we love the Clipper organization. They've been great to us.
Incredible.
We're going to get more Laker hate than we've ever gotten tomorrow, but we've lived through it.
That's why I'm not watching basketball, bud. I'm not listening to sports radio.
We do have, Chris, we have one thing. We will be doing a podcast of the Women's World Cup game. So
there you go.
Chris and I will be doing that this summer. Actually, I think it's a good idea.
Dude, Women's World Cup cast? I am so into Women's World Cup cast. And my angle will be
the guy who
doesn't know anything about women's soccer.
Why don't we do it?
I'm in.
We could get a giant demo. We would probably be the only Women's World Cup cast out there. We're literally one of the best sports podcasts out there.
Can we eat cupcakes?
Why can't we do
a cupcast?
Yeah, why don't we do a cupcast?
I'm in, Jack. You've got me.
Okay, let's do it.
You had me at women's.
Okay. I had you at Hope Solo.
All right, let's sound the depressed horn already.